Matthew, the first chapter, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This morning I want to bring you a lesson that I first taught 9 years ago, or about 9 years ago. It was at Christmas time. Our church had just went through a split that summer, and some of the members had gone away for Christmas, and there was just a handful of us left. And I remember instead of meeting here, we met over in the other building, and afterward we're going to have a little bit of time of fellowship. And I can remember it as yesterday. For in studying it and presenting it, God came down and encouraged my heart like only he can do. And that day was a beginning day for me of steps climbing out of a deep, dark valley. In this lesson, I'm going to focus on one of the characters involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem that is quite often overlooked. In fact, until I presented that 9 years ago, I'd never heard a sermon or preached a sermon on Joseph, the carpenter's son. Of the carpenter, Joseph, the carpenter, Mary's husband. He is truly a man that many of us can relate to, and I'm sure that we would desire to emulate him when discouragements and trials come our way, but I'm afraid that many times we don't meet up to the character that Joseph had. So let's just note Joseph here. Joseph was a man whose great dreams had become a nightmare. You'll see there in verse 19 or 18 that he was espoused to Mary. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. In the Jewish culture, when a Jewish young man wishes to marry a particular young girl, it was customary for him to go to his father and ask his father to approach the girl's father about marrying her. And this really takes on this whole lesson. I didn't know whether to mention this now or mention it later, but this whole lesson really takes on some impact when you realize from Jewish history that a young girl could be espoused at 12. And many marriages took place between 13 and 16. And so there was some great soberness and some great depth of character and maturity about this man, Joseph. And so the father would approach the other father. He'd find out if the girl was even interested. And if she was, an amount for the dowry of the bride, the bride price would be set. And with these matters settled in a meeting between the families, the potential bride would enter the room. The prospective groom would proclaim his love for her and ask her to be his bride. And he'd give her a gift, perhaps a ring. It'd be witnessed by at least two people. And then the following words would be spoken. Behold, you're consecrated unto me with this ring according to the laws of Moses and Israel. Arrangements were also made right then concerning the terms of the marriage. A written contract listing the time and the place and the size of the wedding, as well as recording the amount of the dowry and the terms of maintenance of the marriage. And this would be called an espousal, but it's much more weighty than today's engagements. From this point on, they would be referred to not as Joseph's fiancée, but as Joseph's wife and Mary's husband. And Joseph would begin working on a building, a house, sometimes attached to the parents' home. It would usually take a year. And when the house was ready, the time of the marriage ceremony came, the groom would start walking towards the bride's home, and a shout would go forth, "The bridegroom cometh." And then she would go forth to meet him. Isn't it interesting how the Lord links that to us? Let not your heart be troubled. You, God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And he's going to come again. And a great shout, "The bridegroom cometh," is going to go forth. And his bride will be with him. He would take her back to the house that he had built, and she gets to see it for the first time, and there's excitement and there's joy, and the marriage is consummated in the act of marriage, and feasting and rejoicing would continue on for a week. So this was a very, very important and exciting time in a young man's life. He's looking forward to spending his life with the girl he loves. He's pouring his heart into the building of a house. And he's thinking, well, maybe, you know, Mary would like this shelf here. Or maybe he adds a little bit of touches to the kitchen area, and thinking that it'll make it easier for Mary. And he's just being excited and knowing that when she sees it, that she's going to be excited about it. And he's working, he's planning, and he's dreaming about the day when they would be together forever. Then one day someone, perhaps his father, perhaps his brother, perhaps his cousin, perhaps Mary, and more than likely Mary, tells Joseph that she's pregnant. And all his dreams come falling down. The house just becomes lumber and nails instead of the home he'd envisioned. It was a time of tremendous embarrassment for Joseph. And the families involved. Well, you see, there's only three possible answers to her condition. Society. Mary and Joseph had committed fornication. Number two, Mary had a lover on the side and became pregnant. Or a soldier from Rome had taken her and now she's pregnant. And think of the story that Mary had to tell him. Joseph, you got to understand. The Spirit of God came down upon me, and now I'm pregnant. That'd be a hard one to swallow. A very difficult one to swallow. Now listen, sometime in the past or sometime in the future, your dreams may come to nightmares. And so, how do we respond to that? What are you going to do about it? Some people try to fix those situations by fixing it themselves. And it doesn't work. There's some things you just can't fix. It doesn't work. Some people just throw in the towel and say, forget it. But whether you throw in the towel or not, life goes on. You got to deal with tomorrow. Some people get angry with God and those around them, which only results in them hurting others and hurting their own selves. It's very rare when your dreams turn into nightmares that men like Joseph are around. When his dreams had become nightmares, he goes to the Lord's throne and possibly he said something like this. Lord, I don't understand why this has happened to me. I never wanted this, but it has happened nonetheless. I'm here before you now to ask for your help. Even though I cannot see it, I know that you have something better for me than I had planned for myself. Please give me grace to believe and faith to see it. And those kind of people are the ones that are going to walk in victory even in the midst of nightmare situations. And so let's look at this guy. We need to really, when disappointments come and our expectations are just turned over, we must, number one, we must maintain our character as God's children. And we must watch our conduct as God's children. Note the character here of Joseph. It says in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. And I would remind you that these comments of him being a just man are said after the scripture points out to us that Mary's was child. And I think it's in chronological order. A just man would be a man who lived for God. It speaks of a man who followed by faith and he trusted God. It speaks of a man that even though he meets with great disappointments, he did not allow it to drive him into sinful behavior. You got to watch. Because when you're disappointed and your apple cart's been turned over, that you don't turn to sinful behavior. It's easy to get mad. It's easy to question God. It's easy to kick the dog. It's easy to turn around as fair play. It's easy to strike out at others. But the just man is going to hold it was reading another week about in a book it's online. I probably order it again, but there's a great book, and really I think it was a book that probably formed my philosophy of ministry more than any other book I've ever read, and it's called Faith is the Victory by a man named Yokozie. And Faith in the Victory, he just said when problems come, we've got to understand two things. One is that fallen man and you yourself are the problems of problems. We live in a fallen world, and we're fallen people. And really, some of the worst things that could be said about me are not too much, for I know who I am. And then the second thing is that God's able to overcome all those, and he brings it into our lives for a reason. And so Joseph began to maybe think towards these lines. I'm going to remain just. I'm not going to allow this to drive me to sinful behavior. He had the ever right to, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 22, he had ever right to drag Mary out into the street, to bring her before the officials, and her to be stoned in the middle of the street. But he was compassionate. Not easy to be compassionate when your apple cart's been tipped over. It's not easy to be compassionate when people are involved in destroying your dreams. And even to publicly divorce her, but not for her to be stoned, would have left Mary financially destitute. Because no man in that day and time was going to marry a woman who had an illegitimate baby. But Joseph, you can see here, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately, however you want to pronounce that. And he is not going to do that. He wanted to keep it as private as he possibly could. I think also later on, 9 months later, you can see Joseph's great compassion, because when a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed and you had to go back to your ancestral home, that surely there was some leeway for people that were sick, people that were crippled, people that were close to dying, and for a woman that was 9 months pregnant. And reading between the lines, I think that Joseph determined that, listen, here's really what it was. Only Joseph, after the angel had talked to him, only Joseph and Mary really knew the truth. And later on, you know, when they go to the temple, Simeon, and they're seeing, they're putting this together, and they're going back and realizing Isaiah 9 is happening. And there's some believers. But Joseph and Mary, the only one to lead the truth. And Joseph was not going to leave Mary in the little hick town of Nazareth to bear this baby and be alone. And he took her with him because he was a man of compassion in troubled times. So he remained just, and he acted in love. And listen, God can and God does use men who are clean in heart and tender in heart towards others. The real test of maturity is not what a person faces in life, nor is it revealed in what they're called on to do. The real evidence of the depth of a person's character is seen in what they do with what they're handed. It's one thing to be placed in a trial, but it's another thing altogether to respond to that trial in a proper manner. It's one thing to be called out to carry out a task for the Lord, but But it's another thing to carry it out without question. And so he was submissive. He had a characteristic of submissive. And so when he in verse 20, and while he thought on these things, he told that, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. And so he's told to marry her, and he gets up from his dream, from his understanding that God's in this, and he marries her. Now, what you got to understand is this. That put Joseph in a bad light the rest of his life. Let me point you to some scriptures. Look over in the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6, and verse 42. He said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said, murmuring among the sea. He's called a son of fornication here someplace in John 6, but go over to John 8. John 8 and 37. I wonder where that is. If this is a wrong reference, I'm shot in the foot, aren't I? Okay, John chapter 8, verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my words hath no place in you. And I speak that which I've seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And he answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. And then they said to him, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have a father, even God. And I wish I would have had that other reference, but it's what I'm pointing out to you is that here, even in when he's at adulthood, he's here before the scribes and Pharisees, they say to him, we be not born of fornication, and they're implying you were. And see, when Joseph's over here doing his carpenter work, and they say to Joseph, hey, I guess you and Mary got a little jump on things, didn't you? What's Joseph going to say? Well, you got to understand, this was the Holy Spirit made her pregnant, not me. Let me tell you something. God may call upon you. God may take your dreams, become nightmares, and then God may call upon you to do something that everybody else around you thinks is not just weird, but thinks it's insanity. But thinks it's shame. But you know, and God knows, that you're in His will. You see, sometimes when apple cart gets turned over and God turns it over, sometimes it would take maybe a whole week to explain to somebody what's really happening, and they still aren't going to get it. understand what I'm saying? And so Joseph lived with this. He lived with people accusing him and Mary of fornication. What's he going to do? Listen, he can either fight back the rest of his life, or he can just cling to the Lord and say, I know I'm right where God wants me to be. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And so he was submissive and following what the Holy Spirit told him to do. He shows that submissiveness in a number of ways. He was submissive in going down to Bethlehem. He was submissive that when he was there in Bethlehem, after the child was born, the Spirit of God prompts him and says, get up and take this child and his mother and flee into Egypt. You also see that though this was seen by family and friends and people in Nazareth, and as it drifts around Galilee, that this baby was an illegitimate child, that he's still going to raise him in a proper way. You look over in the book of Luke, in chapter 2 and verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was the name of the angel. He was conceived in the womb, and when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. And so he's following the biblical guidelines. He knows that no one understands what's going on here, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow exactly what God has asked me to do. I'm going to follow the biblical guidelines. And he took this baby into the priest and dedicated him, as it says, the first child should be given to the Lord. And we'll get back to this, but I want you to see here that in verse 24, and to offer sacrifices according to that which is of the law, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And there was a sacrifice for purification of Mary. But when it talked about 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, what that's talking about, what you glean from that is this. They were a poor family. Otherwise, it would have offered a lamb or an animal greater. But because they were very poor, they offered these birds. He was very unassuming and unselfish in fulfilling his law, of fulfilling his role as a parent to Jesus. If you look in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. And they were departed. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in dreams, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And so he did that. And he arose and took the child. And then if you go down to verse 21. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of the father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He returned aside to the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, which is being fulfilled, which is spoken of the prophet. He shall be called a Nazarene. And so he's listening, and then look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 44. When Jesus was 12 years old, they go to the temple, and you'll see that in Luke chapter 2, and, well, let's see, where should we begin? Verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And so what is he doing? What is this man whose dreams had been smashed, whose life has been completely changed, and he's going to be identified as a fornicator, or at least someone who married a woman who was a fornicator, And what's he doing? Well, he's living life for the Lord every year, year after year, year after year, year after year, up until 12 years old, we see here. But year after year, he's going to the temple like it's required for the Passover and the different celebrations. And he's going there. And so he's just putting one foot in front of the other. And he says, this thing's all my life. God's given me this role. God's put me in this place. This is my lot in life. This is what God has left me. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to be as consistent as I can be in serving the Lord. And that's what he did. And you're going to find also that that he trained. Let's look, hope this is correct. Well, let's see. In Luke 2 here in verse 51, he's left in Jerusalem. They think that he's with all the crowd, and he's not. And at the end of the day, they discover he's not. And so they go back and get him, and he's there in Jerusalem talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and they marvel at his knowledge. And then it says in verse 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And so he's watching over Jesus. Jesus is subject to them. He's training Jesus. And let's see, Matthew. Matthew 13 and verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Of course, you know that actually, if you understand the Catholics, and they got it right, that actually, Joseph was 90 years old when he married Mary, and James and Joseph and Simon and Judas are all his stepbrothers. Hogwash. Mary wasn't a perpetual virgin. She had children. And one of them, James wrote the book of James. So, what I'm saying is that he more than likely trained him to be a carpenter. And so he's submissive. He's consistent in his service. He's surrendered. He's willing to place the Lord's will above his will. He respected Mary's virginity. Oh, here's what I want you to see. And this is pretty outstanding. In Matthew 1 and verse 25. He marries her, and look what it says here. She's living in the same house with him, sleeping in the same house with him, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What's it saying? He didn't have a honeymoon night after he's married. She didn't go to his house and they consummated the marriage and the act of marriage. But Joseph was a man surrendered. Think of it. Until the baby was born, he had no sexual relations with her. Here's a man that's got some character about him. Here's a man that has some discipline about him. If we're missing anything among godly men today, it's discipline. What a man. So that began to tell me 9 years ago that I need to be a just man. I need to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep serving the Lord, doing what the Lord wants me to do. though you can't explain everything, nobody really understands, and when you do try to explain it, it becomes a mess. But you and the Lord knows, and Joseph and the Lord knew. And Joseph's going to say, okay, listen, I'm just going to keep on, keep on. And I'm going to be disciplined. And I'm going to move on. And I'm going to understand that there's a purpose in this and a reason in this. There are times when doing His will is not going to be the most convenient thing to do. You ever found that out? To do God's will is not always the convenient thing to do. But let me tell you something. To do God's will is always the right thing to do. And so we must come to the place where our will is lost in the will of God. Now let me give you some lessons here. First, parenting is a critical, important activity. When God the Father intended to prepare His Son for His ministry, He placed Him underneath a godly man. Now, this is time to go back and say, many engagements, many espousals in Israel took place in the teenage years, early teenage years. People were married, many of them, between 13 and 16. You think that we expect too much of our teenagers? Do you think that we expect too much of our 20s? Do you think it might be time to step up the bat? Secondly, obedience to God often involves taking a risk. Obedience to God is stepping out into the unknown. It's not always going to look safe. Marrying this girl, fleeing into Egypt, going back into Israel after Herod had tried to kill all the babies and Jesus Himself. Not always safe. But that's relative. Because let me tell you that the safest place you can be is right in the center of God's will. And one of the most unsafe places you can be is out of the center of God's will. Because the world is not just resisting you then, God's resisting the crowd. And so he came to terms with the authority of God in his life. And he functioned on thus saith the Lord. And then I would say to you, the poverty, the Christian service, is no barrier. They were a poor family. But they were in the lineage of David. And actually, I think if you run out those genealogies, Joseph could have been in the kingdom. Joseph's lineage was great lineage. He was poor. And obedience is the basis for leadership. So let's think about this man, Joseph. See, actually, Joseph's broken dreams and Joseph's carrying the name of a fornicator and marrying a girl who was a fornicator, if they weren't accusing him, but why would he marry her if he hadn't? And things not turning out as he expected. see, what happened was this. It turned out better than he expected. Because he got to raise in that job. How many spankings do you think he got? What seemed a very hard pill to swallow was actually a tremendous blessing. So let me ask you this morning, does God have permission to interrupt your dreams? Does God have permission to change your vocation? Does God have to change your location? The issue is not necessarily your occupation, but the issue is not necessarily where you're living, but the issue is, does God have His perfect will in my life? Am I submitting to His perfect will? And when plans go astray, when dreams turn to nightmares, are you and I maintaining a godly character, being just, being compassionate, not allowing the circumstances and people to harden our heart? Let me tell you, once your heart has been walked on and trampled on and you've been hurt, what you want to do is you want to dig a hole and you want to pull it in behind you and you want to keep people at arm's length so it doesn't happen again. You can't let that happen. Because you'll just become bitter and you'll defile everything around you. Joseph didn't like that. What a tremendous